I like that prayer, especially the part about learn something new. I was up early this morning and looking over my notes, and I was rearranging my talk because something brand new came alive. So I'm very excited to teach you the story of Esther. It's in the Bible. It's right before, right in the very middle of your Bible is Psalms. If you go to the left, then there's the book called Job. And if you go to the left of that, there's this short little 10-chapter story called Esther. And it begins with a refusal. Literally, chapter 1, verse 1, starts with a refusal. So let me give you some setup here. The queen of Persia, has snubbed the king of Persia's request for her to put on her fanciest gown and come to his festival. The queen of Persia has looked at the messenger from the king of Persia and said, not gonna do it. And so the king of Persia gets ticked and he banishes her from the kingdom. Yeah, he could have said off with your head, but instead he literally banishes her from the kingdom. And so therefore, the king of Persia, his name is Xerxes, he sets up for himself a dilemma because he just kicked out the queen. And that's the framework where we meet this young girl named Esther. So Xerxes and his officials, they have to come up with a way to find a new queen. And so they come up with a plan to replace her. And the officials and Xerxes greenlights this plan. They're going to send messengers out into every single province all over the entire nation. And they're going to look for the most beautiful young women, and they're going to bring them back to the capital city called Susa for a BC bachelorette. You thought ABC was the one that started the bachelorette. That's one of Laura's and my favorite shows, obviously, because we love to watch the drama. But it actually started here in the book of Esther. First time you'd ever heard about it, the bachelor happened. And so if you were sending writers out into every single province, what would we think about this search for a queen? So Persia is the world dominator at this time. They hold all of the power. And so the landmass, is just monstrous. And so they're bringing girls from all over the place. Talk about it really quickly. What would you call this search for a queen? A beauty pageant, stupid, exciting like a fairy tale, chauvinistic, or incredibly important? Go ahead, talk about it, and then we'll vote. You're only getting one vote this time. Chauvinistic means male dominated. So, all right, fingers. You get one vote. That's two votes. You only get one. Cheater. All right, what am I seeing out here? Lots of fours, twos. Twos on the front row, fours in the way back. Twos here, fours here. Lots of ones on the back row there. Two, two, two. Okay, so I think two is probably the overwhelming. Stupid, chauvinistic means male dominated. So here's the deal. When we read scripture, we've got two things that we're looking for. One, the character of God. Okay? One thing we're looking for is the character of God. The other one is we're looking to put ourselves into it. We're looking to interact with scripture well. But here's the thing that happens. We call this either stupid or chauvinistic as the general principle. But here, I'm going to ask the exact same question with one very important tweak. Ready? What would the people of Persia call this search for a queen? Ready? Go. What would the people of Persia call this? Yeah, lots more fives. Anybody going three on that one? Yeah, I was too. I was going three, Joy. I saw that three back there. Yeah, I think here's what I want you all to see. I think we can jack up scripture whenever we only put ourselves into it. And so there's this duality to humanity. God loves the world so much. He loves humans so much that we have to bring our own biases. This is stupid, Bachelor. But we also have to learn a little bit to say, okay, I feel this when I read the scripture, but also there's people in here that are experiencing it, and it shows up completely different when I change the seat that I sit in. And you guys are going to have to practice that today in your small groups. I'm going to give you two seats that you get to sit in, and you're going to have to put your own emotion aside a little bit and experience it from someone else's perspective, and that's called empathy, okay? We want to keep practicing this as we're getting older. So let me tell you about this BC Bachelorette. It's a 4-year process. Why would it take 4 freaking years to find a wife? Well, because Persia's gigantic, and people from all over the provinces are coming. And it's a different, you essentially, the women get one day to impress King Xerxes, and then the next gal's coming, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. And eventually, King Xerxes picks a girl named Esther. It's the book of the Bible there. And so you guys can read her backstory if you want in Esther chapter 2. But there's only two facts that we have to make sure that the whole room knows together. Number one fact, Esther is adopted. Esther is adopted. She does not have a mom or dad. And the person that adopts her is a man named Mordecai. But Mordecai is her cousin. So Esther lives in the capital city of Susa in the province, or she comes to the Susa, and it's in Persia, but she's an adopted girl living in her cousin Mordecai's house. And here's the great news about Mordecai. He's hyper-respected within his community. And if you guys in small group read the backstory or tonight, we'll talk a little bit more about why that's such a big deal. Here's the second fact you need to know. Esther has not revealed her nationality. She has not told her family background to anyone. See, Mordecai and Esther are Israelites. But they live in Persia. They don't live in where God has planted them. They are exiles. See, Persia was this massive army. Upwards of, I won't even guess. Commentators say all kinds of different sizes of how many warriors King Xerxes had. And he would come in, flood spaces, and then roll back out. And what he would do is when he would flood back out after taking over a country like Wisconsin, he would come in and he'd put his Persian folks there and he'd take the Wisconsinites and bring them to different places. Okay, kind of cool. And so one of the things that he did was he took Esther's family a couple generations back, and then he brought them into Persia. So that's why she's in the capital city. Here's the great news. She is one of God's chosen people, and he is with her in this place. She wins the favor of everyone in the palace, most importantly the king, and then she becomes the queen. Okay? There's our context. A little more about Mordecai. Because he's a pretty big player here. Mordecai uncovers a plot to kill Xerxes. There's an assassination. A coup is getting ready to happen. And Mordecai hears about it. And he's able to talk to Esther in time. And she's able to take the warning to Xerxes. And there are brownie points for everyone. It is a good day in the palace for Esther and Xerxes. But all is not well within the palace walls because there's one more character that we have to talk about. We've got Xerxes, Esther, Mordecai, and there's one more that you guys have to know in order to get to your small groups well. It's a man named Haman. A man named Haman. Haman is one of the top counselors for King Xerxes. And when he rides through the city of Susa, he likes everyone to bow down to him. He's out on his horse moving through the city, and he loves it when people give him honor. And Mordecai refuses to. Mordecai's an Israelite. Who's the only person that he would bow to? God, right? We get that story. And so Haman probably has like this evil, sinister mustache, and he gets really irritated. And so kind of it's like a nervous tick whenever he moves through, and he gets madder and madder. And he decides that since Mordecai won't bow down to him, he'll murder more than just Mordecai. I'll try to say that fast. Murder more than just Mordecai. Ready, go. That was actually pretty good. He decides he's going to wipe out the entire Israelite nation that lives in Persia. And I think the dialogue is dramatic. I can picture this in my head. Haman's like, I think we should kill all the Israelites. And the king's like, okay. Why would the king say okay so fast? Because Mordecai says, there's a lot of them. We can take their land, we can take their possessions, and most importantly, we can take their money. And Mordecai rolls back out, so excited that the king has green-lighted his genocide. There's one twist here, and it's that Esther is an Israelite. But the plot twist is right there on the screen. Xerxes doesn't know it. And so what has King Xerxes just green-lighted? The death of Esther, his own wife. And he didn't even know he did it. See how sinister that laugh works now? I love it. Okay, getting ready to send you to small groups. News of the mass murder gets out. News gets out. Because those same writers that have gone off into the Persian provinces saying, hey, we're looking for a new queen. Come on, send your beautiful girls. Those same writers have gone out and said, on a particular day, all the Israelites will be killed. So this is not a secret. In fact, this is a well-coordinated, well-publicized thing that's about to happen. And we find Mordecai outside the palace, wailing. When you guys pick it up in small groups. All right? Go get them. Let me pray for us. God, I want to experience this story. Personally, I want our room to experience it in a brand new way and be excited about watching you work. And so help us to have empathy, to be able to place ourselves in the story from other people's perspectives. And ultimately, God, help us to see your perspective through this story. Amen.